Chapter 9. When Steve had seen the thing sitting on the shelf at the thrift store, he had been hit with a brilliant bout of inspiration. The image of happy, impressed preteens filled his head as he flipped the price tag over. While on the pricier side for a thrift store find, it was well worth the extra cash, if only for one kid in particular's happiness. The thought of surprising the kids with his wit and thoughtfulness had blinded him to the impracticality and weight of the stupid thing as he held it up to the register to buy it. The trip from the Beamer to the back door of the restaurant is hard enough that he's starting to think this whole thing might not be worth all the effort. He huffs and puffs as he kicks the back door open, cursing mentally at his recent lack of strength training and the manufacturer of this stupid thing for making it so damn heavy. He also curses his own stubbornness, his arms lined with grocery bags hung across each one. He hadn't wanted to make two trips and had forced himself to grab everything in one go. He is starting to regret that decision now. He pushes his way into the kitchen and sighs in relief when he spots a free space on the counter. He's so preoccupied with correcting his grip on it that he misses when someone else walks in through the door. "What the hell are you doing?" Steve nearly drops the damn thing on his foot in surprise as Eddie walks in through the door, tossing a dish rag over his shoulder, and blinks. "Is that a waffle iron?" "You know, for someone that wears clunky boots everywhere, you'd really think you'd make some noise moving around," Steve grits out as he plops the waffle iron down on the counter. Eddie ignores him and points to the 2-ton metal bastard on the counter. "Why do you have a waffle iron?" Steve gives him a flat look as he wipes sweat off his brow. "I thought it would make a nice centrepiece," he says sarcastically. "What do you think it's for, jackass?" Eddie puts his hands up in a sign of mock surrender. "Someone's testy this morning. I just hope you aren't expecting me to pull waffle mix out of my ass. They're not something we make here, so I don't have all the ingredients I'd need to actually make waffles." "I bought everything we'll need." Steve holds up his arms and gestures to the grocery bags still hanging there. "But I figured if my stuff's no good, we can just use pancake batter." Eddie squints at Steve before looking back at the waffle iron. Steve finds his sceptical look weirdly adorable, hiding a smile as Eddie purses his lips and gestures to it again. "It's great that you bought your own supplies, man. But I don't think you can just add stuff to the menu because you feel like it. Bobby's super strict about what we sell. Something about the cost of produce and dry goods fluctuating and fucking up his account books." "I'm just adding it for today," Steve rolls his eyes as he sets the bags down on the counter. "Then I'll move it so it can't offend your delicate kitchen sensibilities anymore." "You're not offending my delicate kitchen sensibilities. You'd be offending Bobby's, who, despite his cute little old man sweaters and matching ascots, is much scarier than me, believe it or not." Eddie leans against the counter as Steve finds an outlet and makes a triumphant "aha" noise before plugging it in and grins with success when the red light blinks on. "That's not a difficult thing to believe, actually." Steve passes him and starts to unload the bags. He smiles when Eddie scrambles to help sort all the goodies he'd brought in. "You're about as intimidating as a newborn deer." Eddie gasps in offence, his eyebrows screwing into a look of disbelief and played-up outrage as he lets a box of waffle mix fall over onto the counter. "You take that back," he leans in and whispers hotly. "Families cross the street when they see me walking their way. Little old ladies clutch their rosaries and pray for salvation when they run into me at the grocery store. The church closes its door shut whenever my stride takes me down their street. I'm Hawking's very own certified Satanist. All who bear witness to me weep when I meet their eyes." Eddie's grin is wicked as he boxes Steve in against the counter with both of his arms. There's a warm, spicy smell that seems to permeate off of Eddie. Steve wonders if it's a cologne, or if it's just the way he naturally smells. Either way, he would give anything to be able to bundle up in it, to wrap himself up in it like a thick woolen blanket. He wishes he had a sweatshirt soaked in it to wear to bed. He has a feeling it would keep the worst of the nightmares at bay. Steve's happy to get lost in the sea of daydreaming about Eddie's calming scent, but Eddie seems a little too proud of himself for stunning Steve into silence, and he can't have that. "Whatever you say, Bambi," Steve chuckles and throws on a charming smile as he leans up into Eddie's space, his grin widening as he watches Eddie's pupils blow out. "I saw you walk a family of baby ducks across the street the other day when I was driving to Melville's. You literally stopped traffic. Hardly what I'd call intimidating." Eddie sucks his own bottom lip into his mouth as his face lights up red as a stop sign. He drops his head with a groan and leans back as he pulls his hair close to hide his face. "You saw that?" he asks meekly, peeking out between the strands to see Steve holding in a laugh. "Jesus, Steve, don't laugh! I'm trying to salvage the ruins of my scary metalhead reputation here." "It's dead and gone, I'm afraid," Steve says in a voice laced with fake sympathy. "You'll just have to be Eddie the Duckling Protector now." Eddie lets out a defeated sigh. "There are worse things to be, I suppose." Steve laughs and shakes his head, turning back to deal with the loose plastic bags littered on the counter. "I have to get everything ready for the kids' dumb Dungeons and Dragons meetup. Don't worry about making the waffles. I'll come in and mix them up when I need them," he says as he balls up the spare bags. "Is anything of my stuff going to be in the way of, like, normal kitchen prep?" "Nah, Stevie, you're fine. We can work around you." Eddie seems to have recovered slightly from his embarrassed state, smiling as he glances at the waffle iron.
"There, one of my kids'
why
favourites,"
it's so important, Steve explains. "But waffles are an option." Stand tracing the edge of the counter slowly.
"She recently lost
Steve
her dad
pauses.
In the mall fire and... I don't know. I guess I just wanted to do something extra special for her. Her adopted family is moving out of town soon, and this meetup is sort of the last chance she has for everything to be somewhat normal. For her and the rest of the kids. I saw this stupid thing at the store and figured she might get a kick out of it. I don't know. Maybe that's stupid."
"I don't think it's stupid." Eddie stuffs his hands into his own pockets and nudges Steve's shoulder with his own. "I think it's really sweet. I'm sure she'll love it." Steve rubs at the bandage on his arm and resists the urge to swoon at Eddie's reassurances. His giddy feeling is abruptly interrupted as he rubs too hard on his burns accidentally, forcing a hiss out between his teeth as he snatches his own hand away quickly. Eddie's eyes glance down at his arm and he frowns with concern. "You okay, sweetheart?" He nods towards the bandages, his voice more subdued than before. "Is your arm bugging you? It's not infected, is it?" Steve shrugs and furrows his brow, turning his arm to look at the yellowing bandages. "I don't know. I haven't gotten around to changing the wraps yet." Eddie makes a disappointed sound and walks over, taking Steve's wrist in his hand to inspect it. "We work in the food industry, baby. You have to change these things at least once a day. Bobby hates having to deal with the health department. We don't need them coming in for a surprise inspection and seeing your gangrene infected arm." "I do not have gangrene." Steve rolls his eyes but lets Eddie fuss with his arm. He tries to keep from blushing at the pet names, but he isn't sure how successful he is. "It's hard to change them on my own, so I just don't. They've been fine so far." "You can't possibly know if they're fine or not if you haven't changed them," Eddie challenges with a sceptical look. "Here, come to the bathroom. I'll change them for you." "You want to help me redo my bandages?" Steve says bluntly. "Even though most of the time you can't stand being in the same room as me, Mr. Hot and Cold." Eddie's gaze snaps up to Steve's face and he hesitates. "I can stand being around you," he says awkwardly. "Look, standing." He then points to himself standing in front of Steve with what has to be the world's most awkwardly pained smile. Steve snorts despite himself, giggling at Eddie's embarrassed expression.
The beginnings of a smile creep up on his face as Steve continues to laugh. Jesus, Eddie, that was terrible. Steve drags his hand down his face with a weak giggle. Like, truly horrible. I am willing to admit that was not my best work, Eddie giggles back. Still, though, tough crowd. Where their skin meets tingles slightly, and Steve hesitates before he drops his shoulders in defeat. All right, Munson, you can patch me up, Steve relents. But just this once, okay? I can handle it after that. I promise. Eddie gives him a megawatt smile and walks them towards the bathroom, pulling Steve by his wrist and toe behind him. Steve stares down at Eddie's ringed hand wrapped around his wrist and wills himself not to blush again. Eddie's hands are smaller than his own, but still manage to wrap around his entire wrist. His skin is pale, making the black ink of his tattoos stand out starkly against the skin of his forearm. Steve notes these things in a daze as Eddie tugs him into the bathroom. Steve stands awkwardly by the door as Eddie flips on the lights and rolls his sleeves up. All right, first things first. Let's get those wraps off of you and see what we're working with. Eddie claps his hands together and motions for Steve to step closer. It's really not that bad. Steve hesitates as Eddie pulls out a small pair of medical scissors. Ray even said it didn't have to be wrapped. If he decided to patch you up, then that's what I'm going to do too, Eddie says simply, snipping a small cut at the top of the bandages. He uses the opening to tear at the bandages and start to unwind them carefully. He's the medical professional, after all. As Eddie concentrates, Steve takes the opportunity to stare at his face openly. His tongue is poking out between his lips slightly, and his brows are pinched together as he unwinds the wraps strip by strip. His eyelashes aren't particularly long, but they're dark, like his hair. They flutter as he blinks and tilts his head as he pulls the last wrap off. He then glances up at Steve and catches him staring. See something you like? He asks with a cheeky grin before grabbing the tweezers to pull off the gauze without having to touch it. Steve rolls his eyes and doesn't answer, wincing slightly as Eddie pulls back the gauze. It's quiet for a moment as Eddie assesses the burns, his frown pressing down more and more. His grip on Steve's wrist tightens unconsciously as his eyes trace each splotchy burn splattered up his arm. Steve hesitates, unsure if he should say something or not. This tentative peace they've had is nice, and he doesn't want to fuck it up by saying the wrong thing. Eddie seems to have a hair-trigger temper when it comes to him, specifically. And while he resents it, he also understands that Eddie and he have a tenuous relationship right now. So he stays quiet and watches as Eddie lets out a deep sigh, his thumb rubbing softly against Steve's inner wrist. He resists the urge to shiver at the light touch. Was it hot maple syrup that burnt you? Eddie asks quietly. Hollandaise sauce, Steve corrects. Eddie hums in acknowledgement and scans Steve's face. How's your head? His gaze lands around Steve's eye socket, and Steve clears his throat and looks away. It's fine, he chuckles humorlessly. This concussion isn't even as bad as the last one was. Eddie doesn't look comforted by that statement, but wisely decides not to comment on it. My buddy Gareth got a concussion once, Eddie says while pulling out fresh bandages. He tried to crowd surf at one of our gigs. He put too much faith in the drunk dudes out on the floor and they dropped him like a sack of rocks. Eddie snickers to himself at the memory and misses when Steve perks up. A gig for Corroded Coffin, right? Steve freezes and wants to swallow those words back down his throat when Eddie practically breaks his own neck. He whips his head up so fast. You know about Corroded Coffin? Eddie stares at him in a state of shock. Steve wavers, looking anywhere but at Eddie as he hesitates before letting out a defeated sigh, his face burning like hot coals. Yeah, man.
You had posters up all around the school for that Battle of the Bands concert you were putting on at the hideout. You taped one on my locker. It was kind of hard to miss. That was a joke, Eddie stutters out. I was just being a dick. I thought you'd crumple it up and toss it the minute you saw it. I didn't think you'd actually read it. There's a charged silence in the bathroom for a brief moment before Steve breaks it. I tried to go, he admits quietly, almost whispering. But my parents were home, so I had to sneak out the window. Steve laughs to himself as he relives the memory, missing Eddie's starry-eyed gaze. I even stole some of my mum's eyeliner to wear. He leans in with a grin like he's telling a secret. I poked myself in the eye probably 5 times before I got it anywhere near half decent. My dad caught me. His grin slowly falls into a somber smile. He was so mad, I thought he was going to burst a blood vessel in his eye. He held my head over the sink and made me wash it off. It all ran off into my eyes. They stung for hours. Why would you risk that just for a stupid metal concert? Eddie whispers, stunned. You didn't even know me. No, Steve looks up. But I wanted to. Eddie stares at him, unblinking, for a long moment before he casts his eyes down. You should come to our next show. Eddie moves back to toss the old bandages in the garbage. His voice has a slight waver to it. I'll introduce you to the rest of the band beforehand. Maybe get you a shitty handmade t-shirt if you want. You can be the guest of honour. The other 5 drunkards who see us every week are going to be jealous, but whatever. Fuck 'em. You'd want me at your show? Steve watches him as he stands up and offers Steve a hand to help him up. I thought you'd accuse me of trying to ruin your aesthetic. Anyone who tries to sneak out of the house to see a metal concert is pretty anti-establishment. You'd fit right in, even if you were wearing one of those preppy pastel polos you seem to love so much. Eddie grins back at him. We'll make a metalhead out of you yet, Harrington. In your dreams, Munson. Steve snorts. How do you know I dream about you? Eddie asks coyly as he pulls Steve over to the sink. Are you reading my dream journal, Stevie? That's a breach of my own personal privacy, I'll have you know. Your pickup lines are terrible. Steve huffs out a smile and watches as Eddie grabs a mild soap from the bathroom cabinet before turning on the sink. He tests the water with the tips of his fingers before nodding, satisfied with the temperature. You love it, Eddie wags his eyebrows suggestively. It's okay to admit it, Harrington. I know I make that big, pretty heart of yours go pitter-patter. You're delusional. Steve has to fight to keep his expression schooled. If he cracks even a little, he's sure Eddie will be able to see all the love-struck, goopy feelings practically bleeding from every pore on his face. The man practically has Steve wrapped around one of his ring-adorned fingers, and he doesn't even know it. Are you actually going to help me with my arm, or are you going to keep using recycled lines from my mom's old trashy romance novels? First of all, these are all Munson originals, thank you very much. Eddie gives him a flat look before drizzling some of the mild soap across his arm. Second, how do you know what's in your mum's romance novels, Stevie? Decided to pick up some light reading, have we? Fuck off, Steve laughs, trying to hold in a wince as Eddie starts to rub small soapy circles across each burn mark. You're telling me you've never flipped one over and read the back cover, at least? My taste is much more sophisticated. Eddie smiles but stays focused on his task. His touch stays gentle and thorough. I like to stick to stuff like Mr. Tolkien and Shakespeare. They tend to have more to talk about than just bursting bosoms and bulges in pleather pants. Sounds like you're missing out. Steve's eyebrows twitches as he tries to maintain his composure, but the burns are really starting to sting. Eddie must notice a change in his tone because he moves to rinse the soap off, cupping his hand under the faucet until a pool of water builds up in his palm. He then pours the water over each mark until the soap has run off his skin and down the drain. He brings Steve's wrist up to his mouth and blows softly against it, sending a shiver up and down Steve's arm. "My mom used to do that when she patched me up as a kid," Eddie smiles sheepishly. "It's weird, but it helps, right?" The image of Eddie's pursed lips blowing across Steve's skin has burnt itself into the back of his retinas. He can still feel the path the cool air taken up his arm, leaving a trail of sparks in its wake. He can only nod dumbly, his cheeks tinged a light pink as Eddie moves away to dab the burns dry with a paper towel. "You doing okay there, Harrington?" Eddie looks up at him, concerned. "You got quiet on me all of a sudden." "Yeah, sorry." Steve clears his throat and gives him a pained smile. "I guess I'm just more tired and sore than I thought I'd be. I should probably take some painkillers before the kids get here so they don't instantly give me a headache." Eddie seems to accept the explanation, nodding as he steps back to grab the burn cream. "Let's get this show on the road and slather that bad boy up then," Eddie grins as he uncaps the tube. "You want me to rebandage it when you're done, or do you want to let it breathe for a while?" "I'll let it air out. I'm pretty sure the bandages have done all they can to help at this point." Steve sets his jaw in preparation for the stinging sensation of the burn cream, watching as Eddie spreads a dollop on his fingertips before massaging it into the first burn. The firm pressure against the muscles in his arm feels amazing, even with the slight tingling from the burn cream. Steve lets out a small whine against his will when Eddie's pointer and ring finger apply pressure in a mind-melting way into the meat of his arm. "Too much?" Eddie asks with a frown, looking up at him as he pauses his movements. "No, it's not that," Steve says tightly. "It's just your calluses, they're a little rough." Eddie hums in understanding before tapping his fingers across Steve's wrist like it's the neck of a guitar. "Comes with the territory of playing a stringed instrument, I'm afraid," Eddie says, looking genuinely sympathetic. "I didn't hurt you, did I?" Steve shakes his head, not trusting himself to speak as he replays each tap Eddie had pressed against his skin. "No, Eddie, you didn't hurt me," he says more softly than he means to. "It was just a little much for the burns. They're sensitive, you know?" Eddie nods and traces a blotchy red mark with the pad of his thumb before dropping Steve's wrist entirely. "Well, if you don't need your bandages rewrapped, I'll head back to the kitchen." Eddie nods over towards the door. "Do you need anything else before I start prepping for breakfast?" Steve needs a lot of things. His father to get off his back. His mother to come home to. A person to kiss him and then choose to stay afterward. Eddie Munson can't give him most of those things, and the one thing he might be able to, Steve's too terrified to ask for. So instead, he just shakes his head and smiles tiredly. "Just promise me you won't hate me when the kids inevitably burn the diner to the ground," he jokes as he opens the bathroom door and holds it open for Eddie to walk through. Eddie sucks air through his teeth and shakes his head dramatically. "No can do, sweetheart. If that happens, you and I will both be out of a job. Not to mention, I'll be the only one who has to deal with Bobby afterward. It'll be a disaster the likes of this town has never seen before. Hellfire will rain from the sky." Steve snickers and follows after Eddie, snatching his apron from off the top of the counter and tying it around his waist. "Bobby's not that bad. You're just a big chicken." Steve rolls his eyes and leans near the window as Eddie pops into the kitchen. "You only think that because you're his favourite," Eddie points at him with a scowl. "You're the prodigal son. You can do no wrong. Me, however? I fry an egg just a little too crispy and I'm done for. Out with yesterday's garbage." "I don't believe that and neither do you,"
Steve calls back to him, glancing out towards the parking lot when he hears the door slam shut, and smiling when he hears the unmistakably bitchy cadence of Mike Wheeler.
Sounds like the kids are here, Steve calls into the kitchen. I'm going to help them get settled. Try not to fry any eggs too crispy in the meantime.
Hilarious, Eddie calls out sarcastically before he vanishes from Steve's line of sight, likely turning on the griddles and beginning prep before Ray arrives. Steve shoots a smile his way one more time before turning to the door with a resolute sigh. He has this weird feeling it's going to be a long day.